Whatever we were discussing yesterday, we will be revising that for a few minutes, and then we will take question answers. Before that, I would like to recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I request all of you to repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Ruttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya Cha. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Govindaya Namo Namaha. Jaya Sammohito Jiva. Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Paropi Manutenartha. Tatkritam Chabhipadyate. Jaya Sammohito Jiva. Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Paropi Manutenartha. Tatkritam Chabhipadyate. Jaya Sammohito Jiva. Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Paropi Manutenartha. Tatkritam Chabhipadyate. So this verse talks about the condition of the soul in the material world. As I said yesterday, we are discussing about the... What was the main subject we were discussing about yesterday? Positive thinking or positive mental attitude. But the subject matter is about the bewildered spirit soul. So, I took the key word from this shloka only. Yaya sammohito jiva. Sammohito jiva means bewildered spirit soul. Atmanam trigunatmakam. That spirit soul has become covered over by the three modes of material nature. And owing to this, what does he think? Paraha api manute anartam. Although he is divine and transcendental, he thinks of himself to be anartha. This material body. Yeah. So this is the condition of the soul. So I would like to read one section. Very interesting section. I was speaking about it, but this is a purport by Satsabhudas Maharaj from his book on 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. There is a section, very interesting section. So he's explaining this condition. Please kindly hear attentively. Some of the things I spoke yesterday, but some I am repeating now as it is. Why and how a Vaishnava avoids sinful activities? How a Vaishnava is able to avoid the sinful activities? So by understanding this explanation, we will get answer to this. A devotee is one who has recovered his intelligence and sanity. Thus he avoids sin. Just as an intelligent child or sane person avoids touching fire. A devotee is nevertheless always alert not to commit any sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada states in Nectar of Devotion. This is his specific qualification as a devotee. So, here is Prabhupada's definition. Prabhupada says that a devotee is always alert not to commit any sinful activities. This is a specific qualification of a devotee. The Prabhupada says. So what is the example given here? Just like a child, you know, will not touch fire. If the child is an intelligent child, he knows that the fire will burn my hands. So a devotee also avoids sinful activities. So in the beginning he gives a nice definition. He says a devotee is one who has recovered his or her intelligence or sanity. Intelligence or sanity. So here comes the same point again. There is one famous verse in Bhagavad Gita. It says, Yajnatva na punarmoham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani drakshasyatmanjathomayi. Krishna says, Yajnatva na punarmoham. My dear Arjuna, if one is fixed in this transcendental knowledge, one will not fall back. Punaha moham means again one will not fall back into the illusion of this material world. Krishna gives the promise in Bhagavad Gita. If one is fixed in devotional service, then one will not fall again back into this whirlpool of material world. So a devotee is one who has recovered his intelligence or sanity. Of course, if a neophyte devotee is rendering devotional service, he may retain some of the bad habits. But Lord Krishna clearly says in Bhagavad Gita that he overlooks such residual tendencies. Yesterday also we were talking about some residual tendencies, like anger or greed or lust may manifest. But if there are some residual tendencies manifesting accidentally, not in a pre-planned or premeditated manner, then Krishna tolerates that. As he says in that verse, Apiche Sudaracharo Bhajate Mamananya Bhak, he says. He still considers him a sadhu. Because if a devotee commits small mistakes, a devotee may repent for that mistake. Alas, why did I do this mistake? I am bringing disgrace to my guru. I am bringing disgrace to my society of devotees. So such a devotee weeps bitterly, just like Ajamila, for example, repented very bitterly. Ajamila was weeping at the end of that pastime. You see, alas, how sinful I was that I casted away my respectable mother and father. And I neglected my chaste wife. And I brought my house a sinful prostitute in whose womb I produced 10 children who are all products of sin. Who can be more sinful than me? While I deserve to go to hell and be severely punished by the messengers of Lord Yama, somehow I was saved from the clutches of death by those supreme divine beings, the Vishnu Dutas, and because of which I have been given a second opportunity now. So he repented very severely. It is said by weeping tears of repentance, in those hot tears of repentance, all one's sinful reactions are burnt to ashes. And then Krishna considers such a devotee again a sadhu. That's why he says, Apiche Sudaracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak. Sadhu Reva Samantavya Samjak Bhavistovisara. Now somebody may ask, how long, Krishna, it takes for your devotee to again become a sadhu? Kshiptam Bhavati Dharmatma, he says. Immediately, he says. My devotee immediately becomes purified in the heart by repenting for his mistake, even if he commits unknowingly, unwillingly, accidentally. Not a premeditated one or pre-planned one. Whatever was done in the past will not be held against the devotee. But from the time he or she accepts initiation from an authorized spiritual master, Krishna relieves him from his sinful reactions. From then on, one must strictly avoid sinful acts after the initiation. So here, I was talking a little bit about this yesterday, but here it's very nicely explained. What happens if a devotee is initiated and afterwards feels an urge for sinful activity? Very unfortunate situation, isn't it? One is already initiated and one has promised to the spiritual master that he will follow the four regulative principles and he will chant 16 rounds every day. But after initiation, if one feels an urge, what is that urge and how can one overcome it? The urge for sin is the contamination of the false ego, ahankar. Due to false ego, a conditioned soul thinks that he is the center and enjoyer of existence. Therefore, he is not inclined to be restrained by God's law. Again, one wants to break God's law. He does not like to be God's servant or the servant of God's servant. This means the bewildered soul has forgotten his identity. Just like a madman or a person delirious with a fever. See, here is the reason given. So, if somebody says, oh, I don't like to hear Krishna Katha, it's boring. That means one has contracted a disease. So, the disease has to be cured. How? By hearing Krishna Katha. That itself is the cure for the disease. But, the symptom of the disease can be seen by how much lack of taste we have in hearing Krishna Katha. Sometimes we feel, oh, it's too much. People look at the watch after 2 hours. Sometimes when Krishna Katha is administered, it's like a surgeon. A surgeon is cutting the boil. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours of Krishna Katha. Mind becomes restless. Mind starts screaming and yelling, enough, enough. Enough for another 6 months. So we can easily know that we have the disease of false ego. Such a person, he says, he does not want to be restrained by God's law. He does not like to be God's servant or servant of God's servant. That means the word servant itself is very painful to hear. One does not want to be servant. God's servant or servant of God's servant. So one does not want this situation. So these are symptoms. 2 symptoms he has given clearly. We can find, identify. One symptom is that you don't want to hear katha of the Lord. Another symptom is that you don't like to be servant of anybody. You want to be basana bas. Like that, yeah. Not dasana das. So these tendencies can be seen in us, in our behavior when we deal with others. How we are eager to take service from others. How we are eager to be respected by others. How eager we are to dominate others. So when we see these tendencies, we understand that we have difficulty becoming servant. We have difficulty becoming servant of the servant. So these are symptoms he is saying. 2 symptoms. Because the soul has become a bewildered soul now. Again. Now one may ask, how the pure spiritual contacts the false ego? That is due to the misuse of his free will. Devotional service can correct all these anomalies, provided one stays tightly at the lotus feet of the spiritual master and goes on hearing from him and serving his order. Thus the conditioned soul will retain his original spiritual intelligence free of false ego. Here the solution given. What should I do if I don't feel like a servant? Or if I don't feel like hearing Krishna Katha? If I don't feel like associating with devotees, that is a sign of disease. Disease is a state in Krishna consciousness. That means one is not Krishna conscious. Then he says that one should stay tightly at the feet of the spiritual master and go on hearing from him, and one should serve his order. And by that, gradually one can retain one's good intelligence. That is why sometimes the devotee stay at the feet of the spiritual master and serve him personally. By doing that, one can purify the heart fastly. By seeing the activities of a great soul and his behavior, then one's heart becomes cleansed more fastly than struggling hard to control the mind and senses by studying the shastras. The false ego first contaminates the intelligence and then the mind and senses. The conditioned soul then thinks of himself as the enjoyer of the world, of matter, forgetting that his self-satisfaction can be had only in relation to Krishna. This predicament of the spirit soul within the material world should be already known to the devotee. The devotee should be knowing this fact, that the soul has contacted false ego and his intelligence, mind, senses all have become polluted and is struggling in this world, and he has to be aware of this situation. But if the devotee is at a stage where his realization is only theoretical, he may again meditate on the possibilities of enjoying himself apart from Krishna. At that point, he again misuses his free will and becomes covered by false ego. That means second time he again contacts false ego. That means first he was covered by false ego, he fell down and then Guru delivered him. And again, although he knows the knowledge theoretically, but not practically, only theoretically. What is the proof that our knowledge is only theoretical? Sometimes we may give big classes. This is Maya, you have to give up. One should not do this, one should not do that. And then you are going in a bus or a car and then you peep out of the window and stick out your neck outside and look at the poster. What is that? Isn't it? And then you see it's not something fit for seeing. Take your eyes again, you want to see. So there's a proof that our knowledge is only theoretical. Yeah. That means there is no realization. If one has realized knowledge, just like Bharat Maharaj, for example, Prabhupada explains in one section that even in the presence of the objects for enjoyment, even when there is facility for enjoyment, when one says no to it, then it is detachment. Detachment is not, when one is deprived of something to enjoy, then one says, I am detached. Then it's like the fox story, isn't it? The fox jumped up two times and found out that the grapes are too high. What do you say? The grapes are sour. That is not detachment. If the fox says, okay, because I could not get it, let me be detached from it. Say that I am detached. That's not the way. Even in the presence of objects for enjoyment, when one says no to them, owing to tasting a higher level of Krishna consciousness, then it is called detachment. So, this is the predicament of the spirit soul. Sometimes, even after knowing these things, because knowledge is theoretical, one has not realized it, one may again contemplate on enjoying the material world, trying to become an enjoyer. Like we see in our society, sometimes people become attracted to various reasons. Sometimes they see the devotees dancing, they also like dancing. They see prasadam, they like prasad. And they see that ISKCON has a Western touch. So they think, after all, international society, Americans are coming here. So they feel a kind of pride of association coming to ISKCON and being a part of ISKCON. And they can tell their friends, I have American boys who are my friends in temple. And they sometimes hope that they may also be sent to America or something. So sometimes people come like that, but after some time, the old desires again come back. For some time you are feeling some joy in devotional service, but that is not actually perfectly realized. So what happens? Like yesterday we were talking about the subconscious mind, isn't it? Again the old colors start coming up. Then a devotee is agitated in the mind. Then second time one can fall prey to false ego. If one is not very careful and attentive, at that point he again misses his free will and becomes covered by false ego. In the beginning stages, therefore, before the devotee is completely fixed in the higher spiritual taste, he must avoid sinful life by the strength of sadhana, devotional acts based on duty. Just as on the order of Guru, the neophyte devotee rises early to worship the deity. So, on the order of Guru and Shastra, he must also agree to restrain himself from sinful acts. He says, so this is the condition that's given. Just as we rise early in the morning and chant of 16 rounds, follow principles, in the same way one should be strictly adhering to the order of the Guru, that one will not break the principles of Shastra. By avoiding sin, what happens? Yesterday we saw, you remember? By avoiding sinful habits, what happens? Anybody remembers yesterday we were discussing? What happens to the amplitude of sin when you avoid sinful habits again and again? The magnitude of the sin, it reduces. That means, like if you have a strong tendency to commit sin, gradually the tendency goes down, 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 when you keep avoiding it. And over a period of time, the tendency goes away completely. It's like closing a wedge, which is made in one direction, closing it down. So one should avoid sinful activities strenuously. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Shaknoti haivayas sodum praksharira vimokshanat kama krododbhavam viddi sayuktasya sukhi naraha. One should, my dear Arjuna, one should strenuously endeavor to control the mind and senses. Strenuously, Prabhupada says, strenuously endeavor. So, controlling mind and senses is not an easy job. One should not take it casually. What to do, I was going in the train. The onion bhaji was so nice smelling, you know, I couldn't stop it. I just bought and ate it. What to do? One cannot take it so lightly. Actually, when we break small principles, in the long run we break big principles. Just like aeroplane takes, you know, 1 degree deviation. Only 1 degree only, not much. What happens after 1,000 miles? The deviation will be little or more. Yeah, it will be several hundreds and thousands of miles away. If you see the 1 degree turn, if you see up to the ashram there, it must be so much distance. You see like that. So that's why even breaking small, small principles over a period of time will make us break larger principles. Everything begins with a small deviation only. Just like somebody says, one small in the boat, you know, how is it going to matter? It's a small hole, but it can drown the boat over a period of time. You will see in the same manner, we become little slack in the morning sadhana. Instead of 4:30, you get up at 6 and chant. Now many of our students are working nowadays. Here is a great challenge for them. Because we were recently discussing that now working people are not able to stay in the bases, or if they stay also they have struggle. Why? Because night they sleep at 11:30, 12. Whether we should make a facility separately where they can get up late in the morning. So here is the opportunity for Maya to enter. See? Maya says, anyway you are getting late in the night, so get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So Maya has many ways to weaken you very easily. So in this way, gradually Maya will conquer and she will capture the throne of your heart where Shri Radha Kunjabihari is supposed to be sitting. Maya will be sitting there. Instead of Radharani holding lotus, Durgadevi will be holding Trishul. And you will get too much sufferings. Isn't it? Yeah. So, one should be, that's why he is saying that on the strength of sadhana, that means one should be careful to rise early in the morning, chant one's rounds, follow the principle strictly, you know, then one can keep the purity. So, Srila Prabhupada gives an example. Some of Prabhupada's students suffered relapses. Prabhupada used an analogy for this, bed bug analogy. You know bed bug? In winter season, the bed bug is thin like a paper. But then in summer season, he comes out and drinks a lot of blood and becomes fat and stout. Similarly, sometimes people give up everything and become very strict devotees. Some devotees even say, you know, I have decided not to even touch sweets. I'm not going to eat anything. Especially those who say, you can understand, within a very short time, they'll be eating 10 times more. Yeah, they will fall back. That's why the regulation is kept. Krishna says, yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Some regulation. Sometimes we totally give up and become thin like a paper. Other times we start gratifying our senses too much. So Prabhupada gives the example. So in this way he explains very beautifully about the fall of the fall down of the soul in this material world. So we would like to revise yesterday's topic, because it's a very important topic. So you have the mic with you. I would like to go in the same order in which we were discussing yesterday, so that we will be able to recollect most of the things that we discussed yesterday. Who would like to begin? Not anything, but we should try to recollect in the same order. What is the first thing we were discussing? Yeah? I can tell them. Yeah. Who would like to say?
We were discussing about SWOT.
No,
strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats.
Yeah. Did I begin this only, or did I begin with personality, the characteristic?
Hare Krishna, you started with the importance of controlling the mind, that why it is necessary.
Yeah.
That it is easy to control the, it is easy to rule the whole world, being a king, than controlling the mind. So you're starting, then afterwards, like first creation of this world, like false ego and all that, you started. And then Vimudatma, from Vimudatma, bewildered soul.
So we were talking about this word, Vimudatma. Which verse in Bhagavad Gita talks of Vimudatma? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara Vimudatma karta ahamiti manyate. That means, Atma can become a mood Atma, bewildered soul. Don't think Atma is Satchidananda, he can never become bewildered. He can become covered over in this world. Yeah. Yes. So the bewildered soul. So then I said the subject matter for discussion is about the bewildered soul and how one can come out of bewilderment, isn't it? Yeah.
Then afterwards you told about in this world everything it requires time plus practice.
Yes.
This law field and
Everything in this world takes time and practice. Yeah, correct. Law of the farm and law of the school we were discussing, isn't it? Somebody can say what was the law of the farm? Who can say? Okay, tell the mic. Anybody should speak in the mic only, yeah. Others can hear.
It takes time when law of farm is like the seed is sown in the soil and we water it. Then after years the tree will grow up. But when we start acquiring the qualities, it takes time, character and equilibrium and love, all these good qualities. And the law of school is like you go and cram the things and you vomit in the exams.
Yeah.
So similarly, the so-called books, they say that about personality development. You just have a plastic smile on your face and you just feel good. You inside you are crying, but outside you try to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. They want you to make you look like a good person. They're saying, isn't it?
Guruji, you gave the analogy of wrong map, giving like. Although they speak regarding positive mental attitude, all that. But if you have a wrong map, then you cannot reach the final destination.
That's very true, yeah. So, if you are, what example I was giving? Having a wrong map of? Bhartidepet, yeah. Isn't it? So, Bhartidepet, you want to go to Bhartidepet Engineering College, but what map you are having? Bhartidepet Pharmacy College in Koth Road, isn't it? So, you take that map and you try to go to Bhartidepet Engineering College. Can you go there? Even if you have a positive attitude. If you drive the car with full speed and with great attitude and you have auto talk that I am going to be successful, I have a positive attitude, can we reach there? You'll never reach there. You'll only be frustrated. So, why were we saying these points? So, the modern day seminars and courses that are offered on positive mental attitude is a big hoax. Because they just tell you how to superficially imagine that you are successful. Think that you will be successful and you will be successful. So it's simply cheating. It's called as personality ethic. Superficial. So with respect to bodily gestures and smile and talk and everything. You may look like a good person. Very soon people will know who you are. You see, it's very easy to get a client in a few minutes. But then if somebody is working with you for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, everyone will know who you are. You don't have to, you can't pretend much. Yeah. Yes.
Afterward, you told about Maslow's triangle. Maslow's triangle. In that first.
What was that?
Maslow's triangle.
Oh, Maslow's triangle.
And in that first.
But you didn't tell about character ethic. Nobody said character ethic. One step before that.
Character ethic is like a law of farm.
Law of the farm.
It takes.
Which means I was also telling the child example, right? When a child is newly born, he is very tender, and then he sits. Then he turns, then he starts crawling, then gradually he picks up and stands, holds the wall and tries to stand up and then starts walking, isn't it? Similarly, law of the form also says that, the character has to be built systematically by performing sadhana, by following the four regulative principles. We will become a person of character and integrity, and that takes some years. And then one can actually have a positive attitude in life, which we saw towards the end. That is actual way of getting positive mental attitude. Not just superficially learning like the receptionist, how to smile, how to shake hands. No, it's simply a show, That is useless, yeah. Yeah. Then
Master Tanga.
The Shastric principles are like lighthouse. Lighthouse can never be changed. It is fixed. Whereas the other wrong scripts that we have are like the boats which can change direction. Correct. Yes?
So-called superficial positive thinking. But we actually have to have that. Everyone has to go through that character and love and all these.
To be really successful and happy in life, one has to go through these things. Yeah. Correct. Next. Yeah?
You told that when one tries to change externals, suffering begins from that.
Then further?
Then afterwards, mind, like emotions and impulse. Mind is based on these two things, emotions and impulse. Mm. Then intelligence.
I think we were comparing the mind and intelligence, is it? Did we do it before the SWOT analysis? Is it?
After.
Yeah. Somebody can say 2-3 sentences about SWOT analysis, little bit. One sentence on each. Who can say? I think he's ready. Ashutosh is eager, I think. Yeah.
You said the SWOT analysis in which we have strength, weaknesses, opportunity and threats.
Mm.
Our past karmas, past activities decide our strength and weaknesses. And future we have opportunities and threats.
Yeah. What are the strengths?
Instance like our spiritual qualities, matlab.
No.
Getting
no, strengths are those which are good and working well in your life, and weaknesses are those aspects which are causing sorrow and discomfort in our life. Huh? Isn't it? So we all have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. Huh? So I was giving some examples. Any one example for each you can say? For strength, you can give an example. Who? Yeah? Who? Nobody ready?
Attending morning programs.
If somebody may be able to strictly follow the morning program, say that's a strength, yeah. For example, for weakness? Somebody may have a weakness of greed or lust or anger. And we may know it also. You may be aware. If you are not aware, what did I say you can do? Know our weakness, yeah? You can analyze, you can do self-introspection.
Or you can have one friend.
You can ask our friends who are really good friends, who may not mind, frankly opening up to you and helping you. Huh? Yeah. Then what is after that? What are the opportunities and threats? Yeah.
Opportunities is to identify means what we are going to do in the future. Means to identify that which will give us some sort of things which we want to actually achieve in future. And the threat is that the things about which we worry.
No, actually when we talk of opportunity and threat, these are not talking about any material goals. We are making a SWOT analysis for our spiritual life. So when we talk of the opportunities that we have, that's the reason I was reading the exact definition. You remember I was reading this definition yesterday? I'll just read it for you again. Threats are those things that we may be worrying about in future. And opportunities are those golden chances that may be right there in front of us if only we are able to recognize them. What it means is, that there are situations again in future where we may be threatened. Actually the threats are there because of the weaknesses. We have certain weakness, and if you are put in the situation, the weakness can become aggravated. And that can pose as a threat. Correct? So, say for example, we have a tendency to doze in japa, sleep in japa. We are sleeping and your mind is wandering. Now we are with devotees. Now you are completing your course now. So that is a threat. Because you got a job in some Patal Ganga somewhere in Bombay. So that's called as a threat. Why is it a threat? Purushottam, why is it a threat?
Because it won't give us opportunity to associate with the devotees.
Already even in association of devotees you are able to peacefully sleep and wander with your mind. So when you go to Patal Ganga, what will happen? Isn't it? There you are going to, because you're going to be all the more alone. So then there is very little opportunity. So that's a threat. So one can foresee such threats. Yeah. And opportunities? Yeah. So opportunities, say, some great sannyasi is coming to your base, you can serve.
Associate with devotees.
Associate with devotees, yeah. It can be many things. There are so many things. Actually, we all get opportunities in our life to make our spiritual life better. There are many, many opportunities. Taking up a challenge, taking some seva, or rendering service to a great Vaishnava. So all these are actually opportunities. So when I am talking about strength, weakness, opportunity, threat, it should be seen in relation to spiritual life. Of course, you can do it with respect to material life also if you want. That is not our main subject here. Our main subject is to see with respect to Krishna consciousness here. Hmm? Yeah. Then after that, what did we discuss? But what is the purpose of doing this SWOT analysis? Who can say? How do you benefit by doing this? Yeah, here is a... Amrita, your answer is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is a type of self-analysis in which we analyze our strengths and weaknesses and try to get rid of the weaknesses so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness.
We can get rid of the weaknesses. So that if dangers come in your life, it will not be like a guerrilla warfare for you. Isn't it? You know what is guerrilla warfare? Guerrilla warfare means all of a sudden somebody comes from the bush and attacks you without announcing in advance. So that's dangerous. That's why if we know our weaknesses and all, we will not put ourselves in those places where we can become more weaker. So it's very valuable to know our weaknesses and strengths. And if you know our strengths, it's not a sign of pride that I know my strength. If you know our strengths, then we can utilize our strength in Krishna's service and get better and better. Like that, yeah. Thank you. Next, after this. There, Vamanthipu said, please give the mic.
After that, we saw Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So, we saw basically six. When child comes, he needs food, clothing and shelter.
Yeah.
After that, he needs society.
So those are physical needs, yeah. And after that?
After that, need for society.
Need for society, yeah.
Then, gradually it develops and he wants...
Oh, sorry, need for safety.
Safety, yeah.
Yeah, need for safety. First is you want food, clothing, shelter. After you get that, then you want safety. Safety is actually the shelter, which we call as... protection.
Then love, affiliation, support and friendship.
Then one wants some affiliation to some society. Status, yeah.
Then self-respect, recognition, status. And lastly, self-actualization.
Which is actually self-realization. Yes. So these are actually very similar to what is said in the Vedas. What is that?
In Vedas, the model is given. First is Annamayi consciousness. Then Pranamayi, Jnanamayi, Vijnanamayi and Anandamayi. So, Anandamaya means deepest realization or self-realization. Vijnanamaya means you have
Anandamaya, what is the deepest realization in Anandamaya stage?
Deepest realization of God and love.
Actually, in Anandamaya stage, one knows only about whom? About oneself. One is like organism who knows only about himself. I am there and everything else is meant for my eating. That's Anandamaya stage.
Pranamaya means defending and we are full of insecurity. And Jnanamaya means mental speculation.
Yes.
You just speculate. Vijnanamaya means we have knowledge of soul, not super soul.
Exactly, yeah. And then Anandamaya stage, you know I am the soul and Krishna is the super soul, Lord. And then you feel the greatest protection in that. Yeah. So what is the purpose of discussing this Anandamaya Pranamaya stages? In connection to the current topic?
The sense of security goes down as we go down level on the triangle.
Correct. Exactly, that's the main point. Yeah. So, lower and lower stages, the sense of insecurity increases, owing to which the positive attitude goes down. Like in Annamaya stage, one thinks about oneself. And in Pranamaya stage, there is always fighting tendency. Your success is my failure. Your failure is my success. People see like that. Yeah. So, that means, where should we put ourselves in the stages amongst this Annamaya Pranamaya? Where are we supposed to post ourselves in this? Anandamaya. We should aspire for that stage. Where one can feel the protection of Krishna always. Yeah. Then, what did you say after that? What did you say? Mind, intelligence, tug of war. We were discussing a little bit on that.
So, then we were discussing about the mind and intelligence.
Yeah.
So basically, you were just telling about.
I showed that picture of grass body, subtle body, and soul, isn't it? Yeah. After that, we discussed about the mind and intelligence. Yeah.
How our decisions are conquered by our mind and intelligence? If it is being conquered through our evaluation or reasoning or decision making,
what are the things pertaining to intelligence? We said evaluation, reasoning, analysis, discrimination. All these things are pertaining to
intelligence.
Yeah.
Whereas through emotions, like we just go for. For minds, the things pertaining are through our decisions are pertaining through emotions, our feelings, or an immediate action.
Immediate pleasure, flickering pleasure, feelings, emotions, impulsivity, all are related to mind. Yeah.
So in this way we can analyze that how our decisions are being pertained through our mind and intelligence. And if we are being driven by it through our mind, so we can just analyze that we should think upon it and use our intelligence for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody remembers an example I gave? Thank you. Huh? Mind and intelligence, it's very important. What is so important to know about the mind and intelligence? What is the advantage of knowing about it? Why should we know? Some example we had given about the tug of war of mind and intelligence.
So that, like when you were just sharing that example, that if we get a friend and we got a YD, and if we get a friend, then he comes to us and gives us some emotional support and gives us a puff of cigar. So we shouldn't be drived by it. Intelligence should work upon it so that it can understand that it's not good for you, it's going to hamper you later.
Mm, that's true, yeah. Mind goes simply by the feelings, huh? It can be cheated. But intelligence goes by the reason. Huh? Yeah. So intelligence is the decision maker. Huh? And mind is subordinate to the intelligence. Yeah. Correct? So we gave many examples. We don't need to go through all of them. We gave many examples. But the idea is the intelligence is superior to the mind. I was telling that verse. Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param manaha manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. So what is the lowest in that category? Body, yeah. Higher than body is the senses, because sense are the outlet for went for lust, yeah. And then higher than that is mind. Why mind? Mind is active even during sleep. That's the reason. And then what is above mind? Intelligence. Why? Intelligence can even control the mind also. So that's a decision maker. And above the intelligence is the soul, yeah. So we were saying that, what should we do when we know these truths? I want you to engage the soul. If you engage the soul in Lord's service, then all of them will be engaged automatically. Like the Prabhupada says. That's the main thing. Anyway, then we were talking one another important thing. Although intelligence is a decision maker, still there is some problem. Intelligence can also be impure. Here lies the problem. At least you had somebody, you know, whom you can use to control the mind, and even he has become polluted. That is why it is said, intelligence is like the next door neighbor to mind. That is why the mind can influence intelligence sometimes. Actually, mind cannot control intelligence, but the mind can influence intelligence. That is possible for the mind. Mind can allure the intelligence to go on a wrong path. So, we were saying that what happens, what are the interferences we were discussing? Like mental positioning, mental limits, assumptions, and associated memories. Owing to these interferences, the intelligence sometimes is unable to make proper decision. Correct? You remember we were discussing this thing? Just one word we'll discuss about each. What is mental positioning? Optimistic or pessimistic approach is there. So we're giving examples for that. Then mental limits. We create a comfort zone and we don't want to come out of it. Then assumptions, imagining negativity, and associated memories, preconceived notions. Yeah, these are great defects, owing to which we become negative in our lives. Actually, these things are also coming from those undercurrents we were talking, from the previous lives and all. So mental positioning, mental limits, assumptions, and associated memories. Every one of them is a big field to discuss. Pessimistic approach or optimistic approach, and mental limit is comfort zone, assumption is imagining negativity, and associated memory is preconceived notions. So, I believe all of you remember the examples, and you also might have had similar experiences in your life also. So, you can think about them. So, when you know them, okay, let me ask you like this. What is the advantage of knowing these things? What is the advantage of knowing these four things? Yeah, Girish.
We can control things only when we know it. Things that we do not know, how can we control it?
Yeah, the first step is to have knowledge about it, yeah, isn't it? So what will you use to overcome these four things? What will you use to overcome these four things? That also we discussed yesterday. There is one thing that can be used to overcome these things. Like for example, somebody has always a preconceived notion about things. You always, like you know, once you get a preconceived notion about something, you are unable to change. Huh? Or say you have a tendency to have a pessimistic approach instead of an optimistic approach. So how will you change it? Willpower, exactly. The willpower actually comes from the free will, isn't it? So we were also talking about how the willpower gets boosted by rising early in the morning, chanting, reading scriptures, and all those things, willpower gets boosted. Then by willpower, you can know your defects and you can rectify those anomalies. It's possible. So the rectification begins with the first step of knowing our weakness, like what Girish was telling. We have to know our weakness, then we can rectify. These are the weaknesses we have. For example, say I have a, pessimistic approach in life. If either by self-awareness and self-retrospection I come to know it, or one of my friend tells me that, hey, your tendency is to always look to the negative side. You never see the positive side. If I know it, then with the willpower that I derive from spiritual life, I can know my weakness and I can alter it. It's possible. As soon as I think in a pessimistic manner, what I can say myself? Hey, this is your wrong side. So you give it up and try to see it positively. Then I can think positively. So if you know these weaknesses, you can change ourselves. Like mental limits. Like your friend tells you, Prabhu, you always put yourself in comfort zone. You know, I have never seen you extending any time. You simply pamper your body, sleeping 8 hours, 10 hours every day. Your body doesn't need so much. Come out. Krishna has given you a healthy body, little bit extend yourself. If a devotee tells you, and then you use your willpower, can you change or not? What do you think? Yeah, you can change. That is the reason we are knowing these things. The purpose of knowing these things is to change, so that we can get out of these problems. Like some of us have a problem with negativity. Dangerous, bad things come in the mind. Some devotees even weep also. They say that, why such mind is flooded with so much negativity? Like that. So then one can seek association, that's the solution. One can seek positive association and gradually overcome the negativity. So when you know these problems that are existing, then you can overcome them. Yeah. After that we went to? Then we discussed about conscious mind and subconscious mind. Okay, somebody can say about conscious mind? One person spoken, you haven't spoken? Yeah. Shantanu? Give the mic to somebody else speaking. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were discussing about conscious mind and subconscious mind. Conscious mind is like just tips of iceberg. It's only 10%, like conscious mind.
Yeah.
And conscious mind means things we pursue. That is conscious mind.
Like we are able to do thinking, feeling, willing because of the conscious mind.
Vrittis means conscious mind.
Vrittis are the thoughts that arise in the conscious mind. Yeah. I can give it to Shantanu. Shantanu, you have. Mic's coming.
Prabhuji, subconscious mind is like the underwater the flows, the currents. So it will not be seen, we can't perceive it. But they are still acting, and means it is 90% of the mind. Is
mind, yeah, that is subconscious mind. Subconscious. But you can say something about conscious mind to begin with. Yeah, yes, answer. What's your name? Shrikant. Yes, Shrikant.
How do I degrade from positive thinking to
negative thinking? That was what we discussed in conscious mind. How do we degrade from positive thinking to negative thinking? We discussed about that in the conscious mind. You can say, you remember that?
Yeah, you gave the example of dog
biting. Dog biting. So if you see a dog biting someone, so what will you conclude with that? All dogs bite. That's the conclusion you come, isn't it? So as soon as you see a dog, what will you do? You'll pick up a stick. So how did our behavior change? Earlier, it's likely that you are, you know, keeping a dog on your lap, in your home. But now any dog you see, you pick up a stick, isn't it? So how does it happen? So it's a cycle we were saying, isn't it? What is the first step in that cycle?
That goes into our memory.
When you observe things in this world, that goes into your memory first. And then?
It creates thoughts.
The memory creates. The thoughts are created when you again come across similar situations. The thoughts arise in the mind. And?
Consciousness arises.
That leads to a particular type of consciousness, yeah.
And our attitude will be.
That also determines our attitude. And?
And leads perception.
Yeah. And the perception changes our
alters behavior. Our behavior.
Yeah. So it's a cycle. All these things are related to one another. So what is the first step in the cycle? What input you give to your memory? That's the most important thing. So all of us are taking in inputs to our memory. And then based on that, our perceptions and attitudes and beliefs changes. And accordingly, our behavior changes. Now we, from this we came to a very important conclusion. Somebody can say, after learning this? Yeah. Shanta.
We should not give any, means we should be very conscious in seeing the things and giving input to mind, because mind means memory remembers more bad things quickly and it persists for more time. So we should avoid means giving bad inputs to the mind, memory.
You see, our memory system in our body, it functions somewhat like a machine. Like a blotting paper absorbs the ink. Whenever you give input to the memory, it absorbs it. And then inevitably, it changes your way of thinking, way of speaking, way of behaving, everything. And it's like, almost like a mechanical thing. You cannot change it. So you have to be very careful about what you give, what memory you give inside. Actually, we all will see that in our body also, based on what inputs we have been giving, how we are behaving. I said about it very elaborately, at least some points more.
Till the age of 10, they have 125 channels on the TV. They see.
They have 125 channels in TV.
18,000 crimes or 8,000, I don't know.
18,000 to 20,000 criminal crimes a day are being telecasted in 125 channels in America.
WWF example also you gave. World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah. What happened after the WWF? After people watched it, what happened?
They tried.
Now children are going to schools and hitting their neighbors for no good reason. Yeah.
And in America, they shoot only.
Yeah, correct. That means, what do we understand from all these examples? Whatever input you give to memory, that will inevitably come as behavior over a period of time. That changes our behavior. I told other examples also.
So you told that we have a choice to choose which memory to keep with ourselves.
We have a choice to give input, what input to take and what input not to take. So what inputs are available to us in the world? Nice inputs are available for us? Here, I think. Who's? Ram Prabhu. Pardon.
In the outside world, we have only horrible inputs everywhere. So you were telling in your life also you benefited by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna book. So from
that
here
was the last part I was concluding. I was telling about what are the inputs that the youths are getting, isn't it? We are talking about what are the inputs that youths are getting nowadays? Are taking, what inputs are they taking?
Pornography, internet, and outside, all the different material things, whatever they are getting.
Yeah, what are they? There are many things, he said. Here.
You gave an example of that novel, reading in a train, they read in a novels. This, and in the novel, they see all sorts of pornographic and colorful pictures. That example you are giving.
Yeah, cinema magazines and everything. It's all very unclean. But people are taking all those things inside. That means gradually they are changing their. When you give such a memory, then thoughts, then when the memory turns into thoughts, then thoughts into consciousness, consciousness into attitude, and then perception, and ultimately their behavior is going to be changed. They will become bad people. Good person can become a bad person. So you go to the market, so many cinema magazines, huh? And pornography, internet. Huh? Similarly, pornography books everywhere. Huh? And the media and advertising agencies everywhere, what they put up, isn't it, outside. So we are bombarded in the modern times with unwanted, and dirty stuff. But we don't realize it. That's our greatest danger. You remember I was telling, we don't realize it? Yeah. Yes.
One more example you gave, hostel boys listening to the Western music.
Yeah. Yes.
And addicted to the pornographic sites.
Yeah, correct. Because of all these things, their behavior changes. Like I was telling some boys how their behavior changes. And they are in India, physical in India, mental in America, isn't it? The way they dress, the way they speak, the way they live. That means it clearly shows that our behavior changes. Totally changes our behavior. Yeah. So the conclusion of that was what Rampriya Prabhu said. That was the part I was telling. In the same manner, if you give spiritual inputs, that also changes our behavior, isn't it? Like what I was telling about spiritual input, before Bhagavatam I was telling other things. Yeah, where is the mic? Who has the mic? Whoever speaks, please speak in the mic, yeah.
Prabhuji, you were telling about early morning chanting. In early morning, whatever we input give, it is very important.
Yeah, early morning, our mind is like a blotting paper. It absorbs whatever you give. The memory has a tendency to absorb very quickly whatever you give in the early morning. So if you are chanting Hare Krishna early morning, Brahma Muhurta hours, and read Srimad Bhagavatam, everything will go into your system. That is for your well-being. It's very good. Just like you have seen some old people nowadays, they take this grass juice, you know. What is the grass? Wheat grass. The wheat grass juice, sometimes people who go for running and all, they take this wheat grass juice and certain, even if it is bitter, they take some juices. Because they know very well, this is going to give me good health, isn't it? Once it goes into my system, it will clean my system, it will make me healthy. Same way for our memory also, if you wake up early in the morning painstakingly and chant Hare Krishna and hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, so know for sure that you won't be the same person. It is going to change you for a period of time. Beginning from memory input, the last point is your behavior and your personality will be changed. That is the importance of knowing this details about this conscious mind.
Prabhuji, you told about vritti, vasana and sanskara. Vritti means thought, vasana, one level develop the thoughts, and sanskara, deep wedges which can determine.
Sanskara is the deepest wedge. So what begins as a thought, vritti, gradually develops into vasanas. Vasanas are like big tides, waves in our system. And that becomes deep sanskaras. Sanskaras are like wedge. So somebody can say about the sanskaras we were talking? One who hasn't spoken, somebody else. One who has not yet spoken can speak about it. I want to give opportunity to more. I said something about bad sanskaras. Jay, Ajay, you can say. Shailesh?
As we see in our family, if parents are not teaching us good things, then we may tend towards bad things like speaking harsh words to others or hurting someone. But at the same time, if we...
That is one thing which we will be discussing eventually, later part. But the sanskar is about wedge, I was telling. Remember about the wedge example? A wedge made in a wet cement. You take a wet cement and you make a deep wedge in that, in one direction. You remember that?
No.
Okay, who remembers? Yes? No.
Haji, if we make a wedge on this side... And it goes,
if you pour water, what happens?
Water goes automatically to that destination where that wedge goes.
Yeah.
And if we want to pour water on a good things, on other direction, we have to stop that wedge.
We have to close that wedge and create a new wedge.
New wedge.
So that the water will flow straight, instead of going in the side. Yeah. So in the same manner, we have done bad sanskaras in the past, which have become deep-rooted. So because of that, what happens, every time you see, you want to be a good person, you go like this, and immediately your mind takes you, the other side. Again you do the same old mistakes, repeatedly, again and again, because the wedge is already there. You pour water, it is going to go like that only. You will experience that. Why? Sometimes, you wonder, I want to be good, but why it is taking like this? Because of the old deep sanskaras. So we have to fill it up first. Once you fill it up and make a new edge, then so we have to create fresh good sanskaras. That's the point. That means if you have to change your behavior, your personality, your way of working, where does it begin, all of it? From what input you give to your memory. That's where the whole thing lies. I think at this point we discuss about thoughts, is it? Thoughts, correct? Has a mic?
And one more thing, Prabhu. That Western boys, they have books for children like when father leaves ... when mother leaves ...
Correct, That again, that comes in subconscious mind part we were discussing. Okay.
You are talking about Patanjali's secret of controlling mind.
What is Patanjali's secret of controlling mind? Anybody knows? What he says, when negative thoughts come in your mind, what you should do? Replace them with positive thoughts, he says.
You gave the example like child and monkey also.
So he's saying the prayer, oh my dear mind, why are you acting like a stupid monkey? Or like a child. So one should coax the mind and pray to the mind. We see even the Acharya is doing that. Dushtamana tumi kishera Vaishnava. Oh, wicked mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? You are a rascal, he's saying to the mind. Ye mana durmati samsara bitare asiyachi nuhami. Yamana durmati means wicked mind. So, acharyas are giving us guidance how we should speak to our wicked minds. Many of us actually, we know we hardly talk to our minds. Mostly we just do what the mind tells us to do. Mind tells you, do this, do that, go there, go here. We just follow it faithfully, salute it and obey. But one should actually speak to the mind. You rascal mind, you are trying to cheat me, take this kick. Just like Bhaksan Saraswati said, no? Beat the mind with shoes 100 times in the morning, the broomstick 100 times in the evening. Beat him, morning and evening. So, actually mind cannot be changed overnight, immediately. One has to speak to the mind. There are many songs. Any other song anybody knows?
Bajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanarvindare.
Bajahure mana. Oh, mind! Listening to the mind, right? Bajahure, please chant Krishna's name. Don't always go in wrong direction. Saying. So in this way, one has to coax the mind. Like that. Then the mind can change. So before chanting, I do this. Nowadays, I do this exercise a little bit. You close your eyes and try to preach to the mind. Offer some prayers to the Lord and, it helps very much. Slowly the mind will become purified. After this, something about the thoughts we talked. At this time we talked about thoughts or about the subconscious mind we spoke? Subconscious mind, thoughts, no?
Told that we have to change the thoughts of enjoyment.
The power of thoughts, power we of spoke thoughts. About it, right? Power of thoughts,
You have to replace the thoughts of enjoyment by thoughts of service.
Yes.
There you give example that when one sees woman.
You have to replace the bhogavritti by sevavritti.
When you see woman, you should not think that they are for my enjoyment. Actually, we should think they are Krishna's energy. Or they are
all
like
purpose. What purpose is? They are all
gopis.
Gopis of Krishna. One should see like that. After that, anybody remembers anything on thoughts? Yes, Shirish.
That scientist discovered that if one person is thinking negative about other person who is sitting at a distance, but he also feel that why this person is thinking negative. That is the power of thoughts.
The thoughts are so powerful that they can travel and they can hit the other person. Other person can feel it, Scientists are finding like that, Anything else you remember? Anybody who hasn't spoken can speak. Okay, you can tell, no problem.
Prabhuji, we were talking about, quality of thoughts. In that we discussed that we have to consider that we have master. We have somebody master who is looking after every time. So this will generate energy
and enthusiasm.
Yes.
So that, you know, thoughts will, good thoughts will come.
Yeah.
And otherwise, if you think negatively, that thoughts will, you know, make trial and run.
Research in this field of psychology shows that Carl Jung once said that. Carl Jung once made this statement, if you don't accept God, you will go crazy, he said once. If you don't accept God, you will go crazy. So, in that connection also, the writings show that psychologists say, if you at least imagine that there is some power or some God guiding you and protecting you, you will feel a tremendous sense of inner security. So, this is from a speculative viewpoint. But from a spiritual viewpoint, we know that God is always protecting everyone, especially his devotees. So, naturally, a devotee feels safe and secure being watched by Krishna, being protected by Krishna. Like Prahlad, for example. Prahlad was always able to perceive protection given by Krishna. Going to which he never feared, even when his father administered poison to him. He never feared at all.
In this we also discuss importance of bowing down and asking devotees for prayers. It really affects.
What happens when you bow down to your superior?
We invoke compassion in him.
We invoke the compassion component from their heart. As soon as you bow down. So as soon as you see, these are the ways to evoke the softer zones of a person's heart. When you bow down, immediately that person's heart becomes soft. And then feelings of goodness, feelings of blessings come in the person's heart. And then if that person heartily wishes you, that may Krishna bless you, Krishna Mati Rastu, then what happens? Those good wishes actually become true. Because if thoughts can influence the other person, how much the wishes that come out of the mouth can influence? Just imagine. They can very powerfully influence. That is why the blessings and prayers are extremely powerful. They can move mountains. Then
you were telling about the medical viewpoint that adrenaline is secreted when there are negative thoughts and all these things which choke the blood vessels and a person may end up with a heart attack. But when endorphins are the blessed hormones, when blessings are there, a person is feeling happy. Then he is bathed with endorphins which gives a good feeling.
Reinforces the immunity system.
Immunity system and the person is healthy. Mentally.
Correct. And this goes to prove that the mind influences the body. That means a healthy mind in a healthy body, we say, no? Body is healthy, keep the mind healthy, then soul is healthy, everything. But if the soul is a bewildered soul and mind is impure, thinking negative thoughts, then that mind attacks the body also. So I made the statement, right? Doctor, what did the doctor say? Mind attacks the body. He said, That means by negative thoughts, your body can also suffer by that. You can imagine, even at a grass level. Can imagine,
You also said that diseases first.
So that is why changing the subtle body is far more important than worrying to change our gross body. You can't change your gross body much, no matter how much cosmetics you put and how much hairstyles you do. You know, wear a very high heel so that, you know, people think you are very tall. Wear attractive dresses to attract the people. Isn't it? I was telling this yesterday. Why do people do all this? Please, all the people of the world think that I am a good person. I want to become lovable to everyone. So everyone should say, oh, you are so nice, you are so beautiful, then it's very nice. So instead of changing the gross body so much, we can try to change the subtle body, which is more important. Because subtle body continues even after death. The gross body keeps changing, of course, every now and then. But subtle body continues with the soul to the next body. That has to be changed, purified.
You also told that all the diseases first occur on the subconscious level and then they occur on the gross level.
They have a component in the mind,
One nice example you gave, that when a person wears an apron and goes to a particular place, so similarly, when the soul becomes Krishna conscious, the external coverings automatically become Krishna conscious.
Correct.
Like the subtle and the gross.
That's true. That is enough, I think, for the thoughts. Subconscious mind. Somebody can say about subconscious mind? Actually, we have to know about subconscious mind to know how to defend ourselves from the internal enemies. Because you can foresee the internal enemies by knowing the subconscious mind. So I was telling about the five types of undercurrents, we were saying, isn't it? Just like a glacier, in a glacier, the tip of the glacier may be outside, but inside there is huge ice. Huh? Similarly, there are many things that are there in the subconscious mind, beginning with false ego. False ego leads to two things. What is it? Aham and Mameti. I am great and all things that belong to my, that are connected to my body are mine. I and mine. Huh? Any one example you remember? I and mine, we were discussing. Anybody remembers? Anyone? Yeah?
Lady thrown out of house. That lady thrown out of the house by court orders. She was very much attached.
So what did you understand from that example?
Like, even if like she was calling her husband and all these things, and many people they were taking out
and running away like that. Similarly,
when death comes, you can't say that, oh, I have this property, I have not done proper justice to that property, then these things are remaining, all these things, but death will not listen to you.
Yeah, there is no time. Yeah, when death comes without any announcement. Fart, immediately it comes, and one slap of time, everything will be taken away. Huh? Yeah.
Old man, you meet with him, and you ask him, his age is 82 years, and he was planning to make a properties. And
yeah. Even in people who are 80, 85, they are planning for some new ventures, even in such a age, not realizing that, death is very near. You have to prepare for death. So the aham mameti is very strong in this world, deep-rooted, I and mine. Yeah. That is false ego. Secondly, past life conditioning. Yeah. Anybody remembers about past life conditioning?
Because of the impressions of the past life, a person sometimes commits some types of deeds for which he laments and for which
one,
he thinks.
One cannot even believe, I can do such an act. Huh? Sometimes even good people fall prey to sinful activities because the past life conditionings drive them to do so.
So for that reason you told that we should be humble so that if we fall in future then other people can accept us.
Yeah, we should always be humble. That's very true. So that occasionally we may slip accidentally. Huh? Past life conditionings are very strong. In fact, in Shastra there are so many prayers, Like Gajendra is praying, oh my dear Lord, by my bad karma now I am given an animal body, which is full of mode of ignorance. How do you expect me to have intelligence in this mood of body, Foolish body, he is praying. So we can offer prayers like that. Madhrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya. Very nice prayers he offers. Yeah. Thirdly, upbringing, isn't it? Upbringing, anybody briefly, quickly, one point on upbringing. Yes, Kaushik. Upbringing of a child, isn't it? That also matters.
You said about in our Western countries, when there is a divorce, the child gets very badly affected. Then there are many books come out on that issues also.
Yeah.
Like he was one dude who was telling when mother separates and mother father separates.
And father leaves, mother leaves, how he should be. So these tear the psychology of the child. Some children have, some boys, some youths you find, they have very bad psychological influence owing to their childhood, things that happen in their childhood. Like sometimes they see mother and father quarreling, isn't it? So when they see that, it becomes a deep impression in the mind of the child. Mother is shouting, father is shouting, mother is throwing something from kitchen, isn't it? Father is throwing something, shouting everything, the Kurukshetra at home. So when he sees this, what happens? It becomes a deep impression in the mind. So this is upbringing. That also goes to the subconscious mind. And remains submerged. And then later on what happens when, then such children, how they become? They become stunted in their personality. Like they always become love-seeking, When they grow up, they feel that nobody loves me in this world. Nobody cares for me. Although so many people love him, still he feels. If somebody says one word to them, they'll start crying immediately. But why they cry? That is not the reason. That is the undercurrent down, the subconscious mind. Yeah, because of the previous history. Yeah. That is upbringing. Then association. What is association? Yeah?
You told that sometimes if college students is staying with friends, just because of peer pressure, he starts to smoke or like that. Just because other people are doing. Or the trends set by the hero, heroines.
Yeah. You're saying about the bell-bottom example, isn't it? Actually, if you wear bell bottom, look like a fool. But still, if somebody is wearing it, you will also want to wear. Isn't it? Huh? So, actually, there are many other trends and fashions. You will be surprised, you know. Like, you know, in IIT, they wear one kundal. You know? Only one, yeah. Actually, if you wear one kundal, you are supposed to be the most mature in IIT. Yeah. One kundal. Huh? Here also they give something, yeah. Yeah. So, such crazy things are passed down as fashions and people imitate them, yeah. So, by association we can go crazy, huh? So, these four are the undercurrents we were saying, which are in the subconscious mind, owing to which we terribly suffer. 90% of our personality is affected by that, although people may not know. Even we may not know also. But there is one fifth undercurrent which is most powerful, which can not only counteract and cut off all this false ego, past life conditioning, upbringing, association, all these things. Even the other problems of the mind, we can completely reformat. You remember? This thing, we can reformat our mind. Huh? How can we reformat our hard disk of the mind? Huh? Willpower. So somebody can say about this willpower a little bit? What is this willpower? Is it just imagination? I have the will, I will do it. How do you get this willpower? Other people, nobody seems to be answering. Only in the same mic is going between only the same four or five people. How many of you are not there yesterday in this? Okay, only half are not there. Those who are there, it's not a very difficult question. Very simple.
Willpower can cut.
Like iron cuts iron, willpower can cut all these unwanted things in our heart. So how do we get this willpower? Amal Puran Prabhu.
Willpower is activated when intelligence is nourished.
Yes. How do you do that?
Studying spirituality systematically and applying in our everyday life.
That's one thing. Yeah. Studying the scriptures regularly, systematically, and the knowledge should turn into understanding and realization. Then we can overcome all this. Then?
By bringing our innate qualities from inside.
By bringing out our innate qualities like love, peace, serenity. We were talking of those qualities. That is true. But there are many other things I said. Prasadam, isn't it? Somebody can say about Prasad? Prasad, bro. What did I say about Prasad? You must have heard it attentively. You remember Prasad contains three components? Any food contains three components. You remember?
The gross things, nutritions.
The gross things, what happens to gross things?
Like stool and...
They become stool and urine and they are evicted out of the system. And?
Nutrition goes to brain.
The nutrition goes to brain, yeah. Actually, nutrition not only goes to brain, the nutrition... Nutrition goes to the body. The blood is formed and then it's circulated to the body for good health, yeah.
The third is consciousness.
Consciousness is which the food is cooked and served. Yeah. What happens to that?
So, means...
Where that goes? That goes to the brain.
Brain, yeah.
Yeah. And that makes you act in particular ways. So, eating non-offered food and eating prasad, what's the difference?
Means the consciousness of person who is preparing, it goes in our brain tissues. Eating non-prasadam, it leads to negative attitude.
The behavior we are talking, you know, memory input and then leading to behavior. Same way, prasadam also, if prasadam goes, your behavior becomes like a devotee. If non-offered food goes, then your behavior becomes like a karmi.
Prabhuji, you were telling about the if we eat prasad till 7 years, then whole body will be prasad body.
After 7 years, all your cells of your body are replaced, completely. So that's all we discuss. Anything else towards the end? We ended with this, is it? Yeah? Yeah? What is the conclusion? Huh? Yeah? Huh? Awakening of original consciousness. Huh? You can say something about that?
We were discussing about the bringing out inside, bringing things inside
bringing
out.
Bringing the inside qualities out. So what example we gave for that? You remember like a volcano?
Yeah.
See, there are acquired qualities, there are innate qualities. What is the difference between the two? Who can say? What is the difference between acquired qualities and innate qualities?
Acquired qualities like experiences, abilities, memories, beliefs, learning, habits.
Habits, yeah.
Then beliefs.
Like somebody has a habit of being lazy. Huh? Somebody has a habit of being irresponsible. Are these natural qualities of soul? No. These are acquired qualities. Huh? Belief. Somebody says, I believe that such and such person is God. Huh? There are so many people believing so many sadhus to be God. That's all belief. So these are all acquired things. Huh? But what is innate thing?
Love, happiness, equilibrium.
Yes. So those are innate qualities. So what should we do? How do we bring out the innate qualities out? By all these things, by boosting of the willpower, we say. So when it comes out, what happens? The innate qualities, when they come out, like the volcano coming out of a mountain, isn't it? It comes and covers the whole mountain. Similarly, we can see in people, in devotees, when the innate qualities come out, all the godly qualities of the soul, they manifest in the personality of a person. What example we gave for that? Very practical, shastric example.
To remove inferiority complexes itself.
No, we gave practical example, Mrigari. Mrigari, how he was before and how he became later. Because he just brought all the qualities of the soul. Soul's nature is to love and serve Krishna. So all the godly qualities manifested in his body. Then he brought out the innate qualities out. What were his acquired qualities? What did he acquire from his grandfather? Half-killing animals. Those were acquired qualities. So they became covered over because the innate qualities came out, and gradually they'll be burnt to ashes in the heart. All the unwanted things like that. So we have to bring out the innate qualities. So we were also saying how a devotee can be the most positive person in this world in all respects. Because the Krishna conscious path is so relishable. The chanting, dancing and feasting and studying the literatures. There is opportunity for every avenue. For intellect, there are shastras. And for the tongue, there is prasadam. Isn't it? And for the body, there is dancing. And for the mind, there is chanting. You see? For every one of our requirements, it's fulfilled. And for the soul who seeks relationships, there are devotees who are loving, who are very kind and extending themselves. And the nature of the soul is to chant and dance. So our movement has all these things naturally. I was telling you, otherwise artificially, what the people do in the company? Yeah. Managers and big people, they have to raise their arms, they have to jump up and down. And they have a laughing club, you know, here. And so actually they call all the people, they sit like seriously they are having a Bhagavatam class now. Similarly, they have a laughing class where they say, now 1, 2, 3, everyone laugh, and everyone laughs like that. Yeah, the laughing club is foolishness, for no reason. yeah, laugh foolishly. So in Krishna consciousness, you know, we don't have a stunted growth in the heart. We are open by chanting, dancing, laughing and getting inspired. Because the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, are the center of our life. Who are actually embodiment of rasa? The real loving exchange lies in Radha and Krishna. The supreme romance is between Radha and Krishna. When we make them the object of our life, then happiness is an automatic result of that. So, for about 2-3 minutes, I would like to read from this Art of Chanting Hare Krishna book, something very interesting, and with that we will conclude. Sir, we didn't take questions. You all have questions? A little late. I mean, divisionally we spend most of the time. But this is a very important section. So, now it is 9:45. Okay, 15 minutes I will take questions. Only 15 minutes. Those who want to take prasad, please take. Those are too hungry. Take prasad. A question, ask Kaushik. Take the mic.
Poji, you mentioned.
Yeah?
You mentioned according to law form, it takes time to develop the qualities.
Yeah.
It will take a long time. So. Yeah.
No, not necessarily. It depends on how much faith you develop in the process and how sincerely work. So, the progress will depend on the individual practitioner's sincerity and seriousness. But the power of the holy name is very great. If you use a spiritual tool, then the delay can be reduced and one can very quickly progress. What we are saying is using material techniques to become positive. That cannot happen quickly. Like, you know, learning to communicate well with others and put up a smile, that is external, and you cannot become a good person by some material technique. But power of the holy name can change a person very quickly. Yeah. Here's the question. Problem is of my mother. She wanted to become a devotee and chant the holy name, but my father tells her that if you want to become a devotee, then first kill me. And then be free to become a devotee. And my mother became frustrated. She is serving, dedicated to family, as like all of you have dedicated to Krishna. She is thinking, maybe in next life, I will chant holy name of Lord from childhood. Whether she is positive or not, please give solution for her problem. Yeah. Certainly a wife should serve her husband faithfully. Certainly nobody can stop a person from chanting the Lord's names, at least heart of hearts. Even if a father doesn't allow her to take the mala and sit in the puja room and chant 16 rounds every day, certainly the man will go for a job or somewhere. He has to go out of home. So she will have some time to be with God. And if he says, you cannot have mala at home, she can chant with fingers. We can chant with fingers and we can chant some Hare Krishna like that. She should not try to display her sentiments of devotion in front of him. If she does that, then she has to face the wrath of the husband. But one can practice devotion service, surely. Nobody can stop you from, like in Russia, when the Hare Krishna devotees, their bead bags were snatched away, and their tilaks were rubbed off, the kantimalas were broken, and they were sent into the jail. And how will they chant the holy name? You know what they did? Whatever bread was supplied to them, they put some water in that, mixed it and made a paste out of it, and made the beads and inserted a string into that and made beads out of bread beads, with that they were chanting. So this goes to show there cannot be any impediment to devotion service. Anybody can chant anywhere. If there is a will, please give us written notes of practical tips of improving chanting. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Please give some examples of yesterday's topic from Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially six Goswamis. So he wants to know how the six Goswamis. Six Goswamis, if you read the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, the whole Shad Goswami Ashtakam discusses about how they performed devotion service. The six Goswamis, what kind of austerities they performed, how they were always absorbing their mind in singing and chanting and dancing and meditating on Radha and Krishna and feeling separation in the Dhamma Vrindavan. Yeah. So, we were talking also about it yesterday. Although there are so many material techniques that are proposed by modern man for positive thinking, and what was the only technique we said? What Ramprabhu was telling in the middle of the lecture today, that we have to flood our mind with spiritual thoughts by reading the prayers of different great personalities in Bhagavatam. So Shad Goswamis would do that also. They would come together and they would discuss on different sections of Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya would hear Prahlad Maharaj past time, so he would say, speak it again. He would ask, again and again he would hear several times. Because, that floods the mind with such spiritual thoughts that one can easily drive out the impurities. And there is nothing, the holy name is the only shelter. And the katha of the Lord, which is contained in the holy name also. So, we were also saying that yesterday, when we were talking about the positive aspect of the mind. Mind has a nature to absorb itself like a sponge when you put it in water. So the best thing is to give the mind such memory and such input. Now somebody may say, Prabhu, what is the need of going in so much length and detail to know about the subconscious mind and conscious mind? We don't see Goswami is doing that. So if you are a pure devotee like Goswami, you don't need that. Unfortunately, we are not. So we have to know the mechanism of the mind, mechanism of the intelligence, mechanism of the senses. Like if you read Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains how the nature of the mind very vividly in many purports. We are learning all these things so that we can... Actually, all these things are said and done in order to convince us to give spiritual input. Like if somebody tells you, like today I am going to tell you how to do positive thinking, the only thing you have to do is to read Bhagavatam. Now all of you go back. You think anybody will take it up? How to overcome change relationship behavior with colleagues, other friends, since just keeping hi, hello results into non-cooperation. I have close relations before joining ISKCON. So please tell me how to act in such a situation. So dealing with non-devotee. Of course, hi, hello is one thing we do for working relation. It is possible for a devotee to relate with a karani in the office closely with respect to your subject. Because, whatever subject, computer, or whatever subject you are working with, it is possible to be close. I had many close friends who never wanted to become Hare Krishnas. They would tell me, talk everything to me except Hare Krishna. And they were very good friends, it's possible. And you can also tell them, talk everything about the subjects except nonsense. You can tell them also, yeah. Yeah. And it is possible to have good friends. That is an art. Probably you should learn with people, like you can ask Krishna Kishore Prabhu and others, how they work in their office, how they deal with colleagues. How to decide the boundaries or limits for material progress? Since at certain points I feel there is a little bit overlapping. Yeah. This I feel one should ask the counselor, because what is luxury, what is necessity varies according to one's family background, status and all that. Like for example, somebody is an engineer, say working as an engineer for 10 years, for him to have a car, it's not very uncommon. Somebody is just now joining a company as a GET and he says, I want a car now. That becomes a luxury, isn't it? So what is luxury, what is necessity varies from person to person. I think one needs the help of a counselor for this. Now, Prabhu, can you explain about the 12 witnesses who are watching every action? Yeah, this is explained in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamadutas are telling to Vishnudutas that we are messengers of Yamaraj. We have come to capture Ajamila, because Ajamila was a fool who was indulging in sinful activities, thinking that nobody is watching him. But there are 12 witnesses, they are saying. They are saying like the sun, the moon, the directions, the earth, the land, the water, like that they are saying. These are material things, but these all of them have like Samudra has Samudra Devata, like the earth has also Bhumata. Similarly, the sun has Vivaswan, presiding deity. Every planet has a presiding deity and everything. So the presiding deities of all these 12 agents are witnessing all our activities. And if needed, they can give report. But generally, the super soul is the ultimate witness amongst all this. How to know something is done by previous life conditioning or due to our laziness? Generally, it is better for us to assume that it is only our laziness because of which we have behaved like that. Never blame the past life conditionings. It is better to take that it is due to my fault I have done, because that will bring about some regret in you, some kind of repentance in you that will help you to improve. Otherwise, blaming the past life conditioning can make you be complacent. I chant 16 rounds, but can I chant in fingers in college? Because a lot of time is wasted there. Should I complete 16 rounds with them, or those should be extra rounds? Those should be considered bonus. Whatever you chant with fingers can be considered bonus. And what you chant with beads can be counted for 16 rounds. Otherwise, you can read also. You can take some books to college. You can go to your hideout. You can read also. If everything is destined at the time of birth, that what we are going to achieve in life, then what is the use of being positive? For example, if you have to suffer, then no matter what we do, we will suffer. or we will not do good in the exam, then what is the use of being positive? Good question. Everything is not destined. Certain things are only destined. For example, your body is designed at the time of birth. Every one of us, somebody is black, somebody is fair, somebody is tall, somebody is short, somebody is stout, somebody is thin. So this is destined. The physique is destined. Similarly, the wealth is destined. Similarly, the janam will be born in a Brahmana family, a Shudra family, whatever it is. That is destined. Janma, Aishwarya, Shutashri, these are all destined at the time of birth. But although these are destined, within the destiny, you have the free will to choose between right and wrong. For example, I have seen many Brahmana boys coming from Brahmana families but eating meat. That means they have got a good birth because of destiny, but now after achieving the destined thing, they are misusing the free will. So using or misusing free will is in your hands only. That is not destined at all. And that will decide your future life. How you use your destiny will determine your future life. Actually, Krishna says about this in Bhagavad Gita also. He says that Raga Dvesha Mukta is, so it's possible for you to give up your attachment to the wrong things and aversion for the right things. It's possible. If it is not possible, then shastras have no meaning. There is free will given. And every time you use our free will and decide our next body. And then third body, fourth body and so on like that. It's not that everyone is like a programmed robot. It's not like that. If it was, then what is the meaning of free will for the living being? Then Krishna would have kept us in spiritual world only. Why did he send us here? So we are not machines. We are living beings endowed with free will, and some things are destined and other things are not destined. We can use our free will to change our future. How character and ethics brings us internal happiness? Actually, the character ethic, when we say integrity, honesty, loyalty, truthfulness, all these qualities are also actually qualities of the soul. Say, if somebody is not Krishna conscious, he doesn't know about Krishna, but he is living a principled life. There are many people like that. Of course, he doesn't know about God. He would like to know. There are many people who lead a principled life. They know that there is some power, there is some God in control, and they lead a righteous life in tune with the nature of the soul. Then such a person can feel internal happiness. Krishna says that, no, the Sukham Badnati, he says in the 14th chapter, that if one lives in goodness, then one can actually feel happiness. It's possible. There are many people who live a life of goodness with very little knowledge of God. That means if you live a life in tune with the soul, then you may feel some happiness, but the problem is that will be finished at the time of death. That is why one should know God, know the science of God thoroughly. It's very important. It's not enough to be situated in piety, being very pious and being good. That's not enough. His preconceived notion that I am lazy, so I will not be able to succeed, justified. No, it is not justified. So you should not say that I have a nature to be lazy, so I won't succeed. No one should think like that. If laziness and such qualities are not qualities of the soul, they are conditionings. One has to actually overcome them. Tear them apart. Vigatajvara. Krishna uses the word Vigatajvara. Means come out of your laziness, he says. He told that we should neglect mind, think by intelligence, but experience that after some time intelligence becomes strong. In such situation, I feel heart becomes hard. And neglecting mind, we can perceive. We can't perceive love. It's a good point. If you act, sometimes the mind tells you, don't be a fanatic. Just give me some freedom. I want to enjoy. So, don't think that by working with respect to intelligence only, your heart will become hard. This is the justification that the mind is giving you to pull you to Maya. Mind is telling you, Maya is speaking like this. Nobody by following intelligence will become hard-hearted if he is a devotee. You will see that. For example, Naranara and Rishi are performing such severe penance. They are acting as devotee, you will see. Raghunath Das Goswami, what is his renunciation? He can't even do 1% of what he did. Did he become hard-hearted, Raghunath Das Goswami? See, Rupan Sanatan, and they gave up their posts and positions as ministers. Did they become hard-hearted? You can see there are so many great devotees, examples we can cite. Gaurakrishna Das Babaji, what kind of vairagya he had? He was sitting in the latrine and chanting so that nobody will come and disturb him. He avoided all materialism totally. He was averse to materialism. Huh? He didn't become hard-hearted. So, it is a trick of the mind which tells you that, you know, don't be acting only on intelligence. You hear me also. Huh? The nature of the mind, yeah. And if you are with devotees, our heart will always be, like Prabhupada said, you know, like a lamb amongst devotees and like a lion on the chase. Huh? Prabhupada said. So, when it comes to Maya, then you will use intelligence. You will be very strong. And when you come to devotees, you will use your mind. Naturally, you can express your emotions. It's not that it will become hard. Prabhupada was equally hard and soft, if you see. How he was hard in his preaching, and at the same time, the devotees were soft also. What are all 1 degree deviations for a devotee who is trained in base, now in grihastha ashram, without any supervision directly? Yeah, this 1 degree deviation could be, you know, doing chanting in the evening after coming from the office. Two rounds in the morning, 14 rounds in the evening. Some people do like that. That's certainly a 1 degree deviation. Even a grihastha should chant at least 12 rounds in the morning before going to office, preferably. And if they can rise early, like Krishna Shubhu recently wrote a letter to me saying how 3 days a week or 4 days a week, some 5-6 families come together. They are chanting between, I think, 4:50 to 6:15 or so, they chant together and then they have Bhagavatam class. It's very good. So, and similarly, there are some concessions which are given for grihasthas which are not given for brahmacharis. Certain concessions because they have to socialize with people in society. So that has been known from the congregation counselors, and some amount of concession is given. Only one can be allowed that much. If one goes beyond that, then one is going out of Lakshman Rekha. You told about the input taking, how it degrades from positive to negative. In between you told that while doing this, you will get problem. Then you quoted one shloka from Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam. Is it? Please explain about this problem, how to avoid this. Yeah. I was telling Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam only for this, that whatever things you focus on, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam, Tajatyante Kalevaram, Samtame Vaiti Kaunteya. If you keep on absorbing yourself in one thing, then you become like that over a period of time. Like a worm, you know, when it keeps meditating on the fly, it becomes a fly. That example is given in Bhagavatam. In the same manner, if you meditate on spirituality, you become divine. If you meditate on demoniac things, you become demoniac, I was telling. But I was telling that while trying to take spiritual input, there will be impediments from Maya, always. That is called as conditioning, we call it, isn't it? Like you want to become a good spiritual person, but then in between Maya puts obstacles, which you have to keep removing time to time. And, you know, like we read in the beginning today, we should hear from the spiritual master, put oneself at the feet of the spiritual master tightly, so that we don't hear the conditioned mind, but we hear the divine words of the spiritual master. Like we sing, you know, what is that? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte te koriya kya aar na kori ho mane aasha. Same thing. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Whatever lotus voices are coming from the spiritual master's mouth, that should become our life and soul. And aar na kori ho mane aasha. Don't hear the voice of the mind, devilish mind. The mind has a nature to drag you down. Kick away the mind. So, the intelligence which we have also is Guru's intelligence. We are taking from him only. And that becomes the direction for our life, like a compass for our life. So, thank you very much. You could complete the questions. One last announcement here. All devotees... there is a prerana meeting now. Those devotees are connected to services like OCs and front lines, and they can attend the prerana meeting immediately after prasad. Where is Mukundan Prabhu? Immediately after prasad they can attend. Okay. Where? In the conference room. I think some devotees guests are staying there. In the conference room we can meet immediately after the prasadam. All the OCs and frontliners, the IYF devotees. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, I'm sorry for taking a long time today. I'll be out for a month. I'm going and I'll be back only on April 1st or so. So I took the liberty of going a little longer, although we just